Good morning, everyone. The men are in the minority today. I hope they don't feel threatened. Well, it's good to see everyone, and today is the crop walk. If you haven't had a chance to contribute, there's the basket on the back table, and there's brochures, and there's a map that you could see the route if you were... Oh, Rick's going. Oh, well, wonderful.
Anybody else cares to join in? We're meeting at the Carmichael Church on the hill at 2 o'clock this afternoon. That's where it starts.
It starts at 2 o'clock at the Congregational Church.
Rick.
Okay, great. That's. I'm glad our church is represented. It's October now, so you need to post your prayer requests on the back table. And as I say, every Sunday there's birthday cards and get well cards and on the table, the other table back here. And there's also who has birthdays this month. And Mike Bailey has a birthday today.
He overslept.
Oh, Barb's it?
Mine's the end of month.
Oh. Well, I mean, I just was reading from there. And wouldn't you know it? Here comes Trudy. I got all excited so I can say, happy birthday, Mike. He stayed home in bed. Well, you let him know that we missed him.
His practical brother, Jim Carroll, was on.
Yes. And we want to thank all the... It has ladies. I don't know if any man made cookies or anything for... coffee bar or not, but thank you to those that did. And as we've been saying the last couple weeks, how about being an usher, an acolyte? There's no training required. If you want to sign up and you're not sure how to do the job, I'll be glad to help you. Are there any joys or concerns, Rick? What's his first?
John Simmons.
John. Oh, yes. You pray for him with the chemo. Okay. And one thing we all know that it's a church conference on Thursday at 5 o'clock. And Pastor Parrish will be meeting with the district superintendent at 4:30.
Everybody keeps hearing you about your prayers first that she undergoes surgery.
Yes, she has surgery. I go to the doctor on that day, too. It's going to be a busy day. Yes, we had to pray for Sherry, so she'll be feeling better soon. All right, let's ring the bell.
Thank you.
you're able, will you stand for the call to worship? Almighty God, from the ends of the earth, you have gathered us around Christ's holy table.
We come to feast together.
Have mercy on your church, troubled and divided.
Renew us
and make us one. Let's continue with the opening prayer. O God, we join our sisters and brothers around the world in remembering Christ's sacrifice for us, for the opportunity to eat and drink together, and for the life we have received. We give you thanks and prayers. In the abundance of your many gifts, grant us grace to fill one another's life with love. Redeem, restore, remold, until we are made new. Transform our daily bread into the bread of life, and the cup that we drink into the cup of salvation. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's sing praises to the Lord by singing Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, found on page 64.
Morning. It is good to see you this morning and good to be here. We were talking about Mike at the beginning of the service, and it reminded me of a comeback I guess I had when people were absent from church. I always assume when people are not in church that they have a good reason for not being here until they tell me the reason they weren't here. And it might well be that Mike needed that rest, and that would be a good reason for him to be there. So there are good reasons. I remember I had a conversation years ago. We had a doctor in our congregation, a young doctor. He had children, and he started coming to our church, and he would come a few Sundays, then he'd miss one or two, and you know, his family was with him, and they were having a new baby. I think it was a daughter was going to be baptized, and so I was at their house talking to them. And he said to me, "Pastor, you need to realize that there are going to be Sundays when we can't be in church, and sometimes it's because I'm on duty at the hospital. Sometimes it's just that I've had a very, very busy week, and I need time for my family. And I just want you to understand that." And I said to him, "You know, when you take the membership vow, it's not a vow to be in church every time the door swings open. It just means that worship will be an important part of your life. We all have priorities." So I've always tried not to be too judgmental of people when they're not in church. And to be honest with you, there are, and you probably can tell, there are some Sundays when I'm just not feeling very good and just not up for it. And sometimes I would like to be home just taking it easy. So doesn't mean worship isn't important to us. I would invite you to a time of prayer. We will offer silent prayers. I will lead us in a brief pastoral prayer, and we'll share the Lord's Prayer together. Let's be in an attitude of prayer, please. Lord God, this is the day that you have made. We are rejoicing and glad in it. It's good to be in this house. It's good to be with your people. It's good to sing hymns of praise and express the gratitude that is in our hearts for all that you do for us. We thank you and we praise you and we offer to you our worship and our love. We're thankful for so much that you have done for us. We thank you for families and friends. We thank you for opportunities to work and to serve and to share. We thank you for the measure of health we experience in our lives each day. We thank you for your help in times of need. We thank you for your presence with us no matter what life brings to us. We thank you for your Spirit who lives in us and assures us that we are indeed children of God. We thank you for your Son who lived and died and was raised with power for us. It's through your Son that we are born anew. We are adopted into your family. We become brothers and sisters. We receive the gift of forgiveness, the gift of life eternal. And so we praise and thank you for this and all that you do for us. We confess our unworthiness, that we each have done that which is wrong in your sight and have not always done good we should do. We ask for forgiveness, and that your Spirit would dwell in us in such a way that we would better discern and obey your will and your way for us. We're grateful that you're a God who cares about people, and we offer prayers for hurting people this day. Our prayers include Sherry, John, and Jim, the needs that are in their lives at this moment. We pray for those who are on our prayer list and others we have named in our hearts this day, and pray for your ministry of healing and grace and mercy in their lives. We offer prayers for our world. We know there are many who hurt, many who are in distress, many who suffer. And though we do not know them, we offer our prayers, and for the ministry of your word in our world this day, we pray that as your word is shared, it would accomplish its purpose and draw people to you and faith in you through your Son. We offer prayers for the churches in our community, surrounding area. We pray that you might bless them and use them to draw people to faith and strengthen them in that faith. We offer prayers for our United Methodist Church and for Saugatuck, this congregation. We pray that we might be faithful to you, that we might continue to be blessed by you and used by you to share your love. Help us to find ways of sharing that are a means of drawing people to you and to faith. We pray for this worship service. May we sense your presence. May we hear your word. May we go from this place encouraged. Hear us now as we offer the prayer your Son taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
The reading this morning is Psalm 146, and it's found on page 556 in your pew Bible. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. I will praise the Lord all my life. I will sing praise to my God as long as I live. Do not put your trust in princes, in mortal men who cannot save. When their spirit departs, they return to the ground. On the very day, their plans come to nothing. Blessed is he whose help is in God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord, his God, the maker of heaven and earth, the sea and everything in them. The Lord who remains faithful forever. He upholds the cause of the oppressed and gives food to the hungry. The Lord sets prisoners free. The Lord gives sight to the blind. The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord watches over the alien and sustains the fatherless and the widow. But he frustrates the ways of the wicked. The Lord reigns forever. Your God, O Zion, for all generations. Praise the Lord. The the word of God for the people of God.
At this time, we will share in our healing prayer. Let's be in an attitude of prayer together. Dear Lord, comfort and heal all those who suffer in body, mind, and spirit. Give them courage and hope in their troubles, and bring them the joy of your salvation. This morning we pray for in your mercy. This time our ushers will wait upon us and we'll worship God with our tithes and offerings. Father, we know that people need the Lord, that we need the Lord. It's our prayer that the gifts we offer might be used by you, that people might have their deepest needs met through you. Bless the gifts and us to your service, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Alice. That was very beautiful. Now, make sure you're on 467 so we can sing Trust and Obey. When we walk with the Lord,
Please remain standing as we turn to our affirmation of faith. It's number 888 at the back of the hymnal. It's an affirmation of faith that comes from 1 Corinthians and Colossians chapter 1. This is the good news which we have received, in which we stand, and by which we are saved. Christ died for our sins, was buried, was raised on the third day, and appeared first to the women, then to Peter and the 12, and then to many faithful witnesses. We believe Jesus is the Christ, the anointed one of God, the firstborn of all creation, the firstborn from the dead, in whom all things hold together, in whom the fullness of God was pleased to dwell by the power of the Spirit. Christ is the head of the body, the church, and by the blood of the cross reconciles all things to God. Amen. Please be seated. Scripture this morning is found in the book of 1 Timothy, chapter 3, reading verses 14 through 16. First Timothy, chapter 3, beginning with verse 14 and reading through the end of this chapter. Paul says this: as I write this letter to you, I hope to come and see you soon. But if I delay, this letter will let you know how we should conduct ourselves in God's household, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and support of the truth. No one can deny how great is the secret of our religion. He appeared in human form, was shown to be right by the Spirit, and was seen by angels. He was preached among the nations, was believed in throughout the world, and was taken up to heaven. Here ends this reading of our scripture. Heavenly Father, in these moments we pray that you might speak to us anew through your word and through your messenger. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Do you like mysteries? Sometimes, perhaps, other times, not so much. We've had things happen at our house and could not figure out what happened. It was a mystery. There's a story that comes back from a time when our borders were not guarded quite as securely as they are now. A man by the name of Juan came up from Mexico to the border on his bicycle. And he had two large bags on his shoulders. The guard at the border stopped him and said, "What's in the bags?" Juan said, "Sand." The guard said, "Well, we'll see about that. Get off your bike." And so he got off his bike, and the guard goes to the bags, and he opens them up, and he empties them out, and he finds sand. He detains Juan overnight. They have the sand analyzed, and the word that comes back is that it is sand. And so they give Juan back his bags of sand, and he puts them on his shoulders, and they let him cross the border. this happens the next week and the next week and the next week. And then finally, there came a couple of weeks where Juan does not show up. And the border guard happens to go down into Mexico for some reason. He goes into a cantino, and he sees Juan. And he says to Juan, he says, "Hey, buddy, I know you're smuggling something. It's driving me crazy. It's all I can think about. I can't sleep. Just between you and me, what are you smuggling?" Juan is sipping his drink, and he says, "Bicycles." It's a cute story, I guess. But the mystery is revealed, right? In time, all ministry, all mysteries will be revealed, and nothing will remain hidden. God knows all. Paul talks in this passage about a great mystery. The mystery of godliness. I know in the Good News Bible it said the mystery of religion. Some Bibles say the mystery of the Christian life. It's what it's all about, the mystery. And he reveals what it is. The thing about mystery, as that word in the Greek is used in the New Testament, especially in the writings of Paul, ordinarily we think of mystery as something that's unknown, that hasn't been revealed. People are struggling to find out what it is. In the New Testament, mystery is something that was once unknown, but now is revealed. So it's not an unknown secret. It's a secret that is known. It was a secret at one time, but now is revealed. And so Paul is writing about this once mystery, now revealed. Also in this scripture, the last portion is what is believed to be an early Christian hymn. As early believers meant for worship, they would sing these words that were at the heart of their faith. I'm going to read this passage now to you from the Message. Again, the words of Paul. "I hope to visit you soon, but just in case I'm delayed, I'm writing this letter so you'll know how things ought to go in God's household, this God-alive church, bastion of faith. This Christian life is a great mystery, far exceeding our understanding. But some things are clear enough. He appeared in human body, was proved right by the invisible spirit, was seen by angels. He was proclaimed among all kinds of people, believed in all over the world, taken up into heavenly glory." The mystery of who God is. People have wondered, what is God like? What does he expect of us? How does he want us to live? And in Jesus, that is revealed. And the way we are to live, the mystery of our religion, our mystery, the mystery of how God would have us live is revealed in Jesus. I want to go through these six statements about Jesus that Paul makes here. He appeared in body. There's a story, a legend, I guess it would be, that long ago in Persia, there was a good king. He loved his people, but he didn't understand them, and he wanted to know how they lived. He wanted to know about the hardship in their lives, and so often he would dress in clothes of a working man or a beggar and go to the homes of the poor. No one he visited recognized him as the king. One time he visited a very poor man who lived in a basement. He ate coarse food. He spoke tearful, kind words to him, and then he left. Later he visited the poor man again and declared his identity, saying, "I am the king." The king thought the man would surely ask for some gift or favor, but he didn't. Instead, he said, "You left your palace and your glory to visit me in this dark, dreary place. You ate the coarse food I ate. You brought gladness to my heart. To others, you have given your rich gifts. To me, you have given yourself." There's a story about Ronald Reagan. When I heard it, I kind of chuckled. When he was over 70 years old, he was campaigning to be president. And an 80-year-old woman said to him, "Everything you said sounds fine, but what about us old folks? Have you forgotten us?" And Reagan smiled and said, "Forgotten you? Heavens! How could I have forgotten you? I'm one of you." He appeared in a body. He became like us. And it makes all the difference to affirm that God was in Christ is to affirm that God has become one of us. He has walked where we walk. He understands us and has revealed to us through Jesus how he would have us live. He was vindicated by the Spirit. To be vindicated means justified, endorsed, or proved. The Spirit worked in Jesus' life and proved him to be the Son of God. The miracles that Jesus performed, the healings, the teaching, that was all done through the Spirit. The Spirit proving that Jesus was indeed the Son of God. And the central proof or endorsement or vindication was the resurrection. Jesus was raised from the dead. He was dead, died on the cross for us, and then was revived, brought back to life again through the Spirit, proving that he was indeed not a Son of God, but the Son of God. He was seen by angels. I don't know if you've ever thought about that. Jesus was seen by angels. At his birth, the angels were involved. They were the ones that came to Mary and Joseph and made the announcement that she would have a special son. At his birth, the angels appeared to the shepherds and told them that there was someone very special to be born in Bethlehem. The Spirit warned the Magi, the wise men, to return a different way, and so prevented Herod from bringing his plans for Jesus. And then later it was angels that warned Joseph to take Jesus back out of Bethlehem into Nazareth. And it was angels who ministered to Jesus after he was tempted in the desert. It was fallen angels who recognized him as he walked on the earth. Angels told of his resurrection. Angels told of his second coming. We're told that an angel will blow a trumpet to signal the second coming. And the book of Revelation gives a picture of Jesus surrounded by angels and the redeemed being worshipped in heaven. So angels had an important part in Jesus' life. He was seen by angels. He was preached among the nations. He was and shall be preached until he comes again. In Acts, early chapter 8, as the people left Jerusalem, as they were scattered about, they preached the word, Luke tells us, wherever they went. I was thinking about Jesus being preached everywhere in the world. Years and years ago, I was a young man at the time, church I was serving, we got a group of people together, and we took a bus, and we went to a Billy Graham crusade at the Silver Dome, I believe it was at. Any of you ever been to a Billy Graham crusade? Some of you have. If you haven't been to one, you've probably seen it on TV times past, and there's at least I think it's still there, a station on cable or satellite where you can still see some of those old crusades. But there were thousands of people there hearing the message of Jesus preached. And that just one man, one ministry. I remember that years ago there were parts of the world where the only way you could communicate with people was through long-range radio broadcasts. And there were groups of people that had organized to preach the gospel, send it out to people in remote parts of the world. He was preached among the nations. He was believed in the world. Someone wrote that he is the center of all worlds, worshipped in heaven's bright places by those who never knew sin, that would be the angels, and by those who committed earth's darkest sin. The Old Testament tells us to taste and see that the Lord is good. He was believed. And the last point that Paul makes is he was taken up in glory. The mystery of godliness, the mystery of our religion, the mystery of the Christian life is all about Jesus. And the song during the offering says it so well. The world needs to know Jesus and experience his great love. I was remembering a story, kind of a legend that I read once, and I think I've used in some of my sermons. The legend is that after Jesus died and after he ascended, was taken to glory, he was greeted by angels and had a conversation, and they were asking him what he had done here on earth. And he was sharing and explaining. And one of the angels said to him, what plans did you make to carry on your work? And in the legend, Jesus says, well, there's a group of men, of followers, of disciples that I have trained, and some others, and I've entrusted the message to them. And the angel thought for a moment and then said, well, what if the disciples go back to fishing? What if the others forget? Do you have a backup plan? And the answer was, no, I have no other plan. I've left it in their hands. I believe they can do the work. These are the pillars of our faith that Paul gives here, the mystery of godliness. Somehow, in God's eyes, when we put our faith in Jesus, we are not seen as we really are, but we are seen as believers in Jesus, and somehow in the mystery of holiness, God sees us through the lens of Jesus, and that is our honor, that is our privilege. Heavenly Father, help us to be more like Jesus. Help us to remember him and all that he has done for us, and all he continues to do for us. And may we strive to be like him, to live like him, and to share his great love with others. And may, in your way, the mystery of religion, the mystery of the Christian life, the mystery of holiness be imparted to us who are so unworthy. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd like to invite you to turn in the front of our hymnal to the order of service number 12, and we'll use a portion of that this morning for our communion. Hear the words of invitation. Christ our Lord invites to his table all who love him, who earnestly repent of their sin, and seek to live in peace with one another. Therefore, let us confess our sins before God and one another. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors, and we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now just a few moments of silent prayer as we make our personal confessions.
Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners, and that proves God's love towards us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
Glory to God. Amen.
Thank you.
invite you to stand as we sing our last hymn, number 338, Where He Leads Me. Join me for the benediction as it's printed in our bulletin. Grant us, O Lord, that which we have said with our lips, we may believe in our hearts, and that what we believe in our hearts, we may practice in our lives. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.